trying to remember where I tell the guys I will stand when I wander away from the pulpit. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of our Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. And especially on this Indigenous Peoples Sunday, we're grateful to come into the presence of God. And as we prepare for worship this morning, I need to give a little footnote on the service. I'm grateful to our friends in the Christian Reformed Church because I've borrowed some of their resources for the preparation of worship this morning. So a thank you to them, because I think you've heard much of the stuff that the Presbyterian Church has put out. So I always want you to have something new in worship. The announcements have appeared before you on the screen, so I hope you had an opportunity to take a look at those as you were gathering. Next weekend is going to be Communion Sunday, so for those who are joining us on the live stream, good morning. And if you would like one of the small communion cups delivered to you so that you can participate in the communion service next week, please contact us here at the church office, or Brenda, who often is the delivery person for all of those little cups, and Brenda always has her list. So those will be going out this week to those who request them. And next week is also our celebration of our graduates from high school for this year. So this is the last call for grad photos for those young people who are graduating from high school. I have two so far. And if you want to know which two, if you have a grad in your family, you can contact the church office and we'll let you know that we don't have your graduates yet. So please make note of that. We look forward to next week, both the celebration as the community of faith and as our broader family of the church. And Brenda has the notes from this week's session.
Good morning. Session met on Saturday, June the 8th at 10 a.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and read Psalm 24. The John Stewart Estate Committee is active and looking for anyone living in Glengarry or Starmont counties to serve on the committee. If you're interested in this work, please speak to Reverend Adams. Reverend Adams reported that effective July the 1st, 2024, he is the interim moderator of Avamore, Finch, and Gravel Hill. As a result, we can expect Reverend Adams to be away from the pulpit from time to time to fulfill the duties of this role. Trish Brown will lead a committee to study the feasibility of providing rides for people to get to church. Reverend Adams is considering a small change to the service later this year. The goal is to include a new or world song at the beginning of worship to replace the current hymn. As the congregation learns the new songs that will become beloved favorites, these songs will have a more modern, contemporary, and upbeat feel. Trish Brown reported that plans are moving forward with the upcoming dinner on June the 22nd. We hope you plan on attending and supporting this event. We also hope you will come to worship next Sunday for both communion and the celebration of our high school graduates. Thanks.
Brenda made note of some different music in worship. Not that I don't do that all the time anyway. You're going, what's the big deal? And that's why, actually, I'm standing here on the floor this morning. As we come into worship this morning, we're going to learn a new song from a new, for some of us, a new tradition. The Taizé community was founded in France during the Second World War and has continued to be a source of spiritual renewal and music within the Catholic tradition, but really it's not Catholic. It is an ecumenical movement. And although they do sometimes sing in Latin, we will not sing in Latin this morning. But it has become an important and vital part of many people's spiritual expression. And the music is at one level quite simple. So it's just most of their music is very short, 2-3 lines, and so you learn 2-3 lines and you've got it down pat, and it repeats. So we are going to open worship this morning by singing a Tizé chorus entitled "Sing, Praise, and Bless the Lord." We will begin with that. We will sing that through several times. Then we will pause for the call to worship, and then we will come back with the repeated chorus. So just be prepared for that, and let us stand. Sing praise and bless the Lord. Sing praise and bless the Lord. Peoples, nations, hallelujah. Sing praise and bless the Lord. Sing praise and bless the Lord. Peoples, nations, hallelujah.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before the Creator with joyful songs. Know that the triune Creator is the Lord.
If we can advance some slides there. Thank you, Roy. One more. Actually, two more. Now I've got you one too far. Why don't we start the call to worship again, Roy? Is that okay? Perfect. There we go. We will get it right this time. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before the Creator with joyful songs. Know that the triune Creator is the Lord. It is Christ.
Pasture.
Enter their presence with thanksgiving and their assembly with praise. Give thanks to Christ and praise his name.
For the Creator is good and Christ's love endures forever. The Holy Spirit's faithfulness continues through all generations.
Creator God, we look at your world and praise you for the diversity all around us. Thank you for the gift of relationships, our connection with people, animals, and the land. Help us, Lord, to see differences and diversity as strengths. Help us to listen and understand, to meet one another with wonder and anticipation. Help us to love as you love, without expectation. Reveal to us your way of reconciliation and guide us into right relationships with all living things. Lead us to understand how indigenous peoples have been and continue to be profoundly harmed by settler people and institutions. Lead us to repent when we as settlers deny indigenous peoples respect, dignity, and fullness of life. Help us to listen compassionately, to speak humbly, and to act justly. Help us to seek the peace, justice, and reconciliation you desire among all your children. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we come in worship, let us confess our sin. For the Holy One delights in blessing those who seek to walk with God. The words for the prayer of confession will appear before you on the screen. Surprising God, you made foolish the wisdom of the world, teaching that the meek shall inherit the earth, and heaven belongs to those who suffer for the sake of justice. But we cling to the values of this world, things that enhance our status but cheat our souls. We seek comfort in simple answers and easy outs. We disregard the marginalized and mock weakness, forgetting that Christ lifted up the lowly and made a home among the vulnerable. God of blessing, reorient our hearts and renew our minds so that we might act with justice, practice kindness, and in all things walk humbly with you. Amen. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven by the faith of Christ, who chose love over hatred and forgiveness over blame. Rejoice and be glad, for God's mercy is great, and Jesus brings healing, justice, and peace. Amen. Our hymn is number 370 in the Book of Praise. Oh, for a world where everyone respects each other ways. 730 in the Book of Praise. Should have just stayed down here. Good morning. I don't see any young ones this morning, so this story is just for you.
As I was preparing for this week, I mentioned I looked towards our, every now and then when these special services come up, the minister uses Google. And so when I typed in Google this time to see what interesting things might be out there, I came across the website of the Christian Reformed Church and some of the resources that they are using for this Sunday. And one of them told a story about some sharing that I wanted to share with you this morning. I think for most of us, when we grew up in homes that were, well, the diet was pretty bland, wasn't it? Wasn't very exotic, right? On Monday, you had meat and potatoes and a vegetable, and on Tuesday, you'd have potatoes and a meat with vegetables, and you know how it worked, right? Yeah, and exotic was beef and pork and chicken. And every now and then, though, something would happen. 5, 6, 7 days of the week, for months on end, we would eat the home that I grew up in, you know, the staples, whatever your staple might be, meat, potatoes, a vegetable. In the wintertime, maybe, we would get salt cod. Now, that would be something that would be exotic for most here, but it was not exotic where I came from. Salt cod. But we all know that what's a staple for us is different for other people, right? So when Alice grew up, I'm sure Alice and Paul, they didn't eat meat and potatoes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right? You had something else, Korean barbecue with rice, big feasts. We all have things that are different. In my home, every now and then, if we were really lucky, my sister and I would be able to talk my parents into buying the Kraft pizza in a box. You remember Kraft pizza in a box? Had all the little bags of all the little stuff that you needed to make a pizza. And that was exotic. It was something from far away. But of course, all of our menus in our homes have changed, haven't they? And now in our house, we often have pizza once a week. It's not very exotic anymore at all. Meat and potatoes every day sometimes gets shifted around with something with rice or, you know, different things, right? We all eat different things. I discovered a story that was shared by the First Nations minister. Now, I'm not exactly sure where he is. I think he may be down in southern Ontario on the Six Nations Reserve down there. But it's a story about the Six Nations and the Haudenosaunee people. So I'm not sure if this was up this way, but maybe somebody can tell me if it's true. It's about donuts, of all things, and a New Year's tradition. Apparently in the 1600s, so a long time ago, when the Dutch settlers came into areas of New York, they brought with them a tradition that on New Year's Day, the Dutch children would run through the streets calling for Nuya. I'm trying to find the name for the Dutch donut, and I can't find it. Sorry, what was it, Fleur? Got to say it real loud, because I'm bad on hearing today. Oliebol. Oliebol. Thank you. Calling for Oliebol, which was how they celebrated New Year's. Is that still a New Year's custom in kind of Dutch traditions? And what happened was because these early Dutch settlers were in contact with the Haudenosaunee people, the Haudenosaunee children. Children never passing up a good donut. The Haudenosaunee children apparently had picked up on this tradition, and so they began running through their community, calling New Year, and would receive a donut as well. And it reminded me of the things that have happened in our own homes, how we share traditions with one another, and our culture becomes richer because there is the interplay between people. Now, I don't know whether in this area children get donuts on New Year's or not, but that at least for the community where this gentleman was working still remained a tradition many, many years later. And as we celebrate this morning and remember as we celebrate the contributions that Indigenous people have made to our country, we remember that we are our fellow journeyers on the road, and that we share wonderful things together, like donuts. And just because you can't stand at the front as the minister and talk about donuts and not have donuts, I invite you all to stay for coffee hour this morning. We've got Timbits, which aren't Oli Bowl, but you know, but they're as close as you can get on a Sunday morning in Cornwall. So do plan to stay for a time of fellowship after worship this morning. And as you enjoy a Timbit, remember the story of the sharing of cultures that we celebrate today. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, your blessings are abundant, and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Micah 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The responsive reading is Psalm 80. Verses 7 through 15. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
You brought the vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it.
You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade. The mighty cedars
It sent out its branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river. The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it.
Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from the heaven and see. Have regard for this vine.
The stalk that your right hand planted. The epistle lesson is 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 31. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not to reduce to nothing. Things are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from the God. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
Our hymn is number 736 in the Book of Praise. For the Healing of the Nations, hymn 736.
Thank you.
And our gospel reading for this morning is taken from the gospel according to Matthew, reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Let us listen to God's word as we read from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if you grew up in the Presbyterian Church, you will remember memorizing your catechism. Right? Some people remember memorizing the catechism. And for those who aren't familiar with the catechism, it comes from the Greek word that's found in the New Testament, meaning to teach or to teach orally. So it's a way of speaking and teaching. And the shorter catechism that many of us learned as we were children was a small booklet that was made up of 107 questions and answers. That's how most catechisms work. There's a question that the learner is asked, and the learner then responds with the answer. And so for many in a past generation, in Sunday school on a Sunday morning, the first thing that happened was the catechism was opened to the question of the day, and it was read out loud. What is God? Question number 4 in the shorter catechism. Now, if you learned this catechism, raise your hand. Good. So I'm looking to you guys to answer for me question 4. What is God? Did somebody actually remember it? God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, this is where it gets hard, being, wisdom, power, kind, holiness, justice, goodness, and might. Nope, see, I messed it up. Now I've got it written in front of me. I was trying to do it from memory. Let me do it right. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. It's the list that makes it tricky. As we turn our attention to the reading that we heard from the book of the prophet Micah this morning, we begin with a prophetic oracle. It is a picture is painted for us of God standing within a courtroom. God has called upon humanity
to argue their case within the court of nature. Rise, plead your case before the mountains and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversies of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. And what is it that is being argued in this court? Nothing less than the very nature of God, the very goodness of God. After laying out how God had saved God's people by leading them out of Egypt and slavery during the Exodus, this section of the reading concludes with these words: that you may know the saving acts of God. That you may know the saving acts, the goodness of God. God states that we should know God's justice and God's mercy because we have witnessed it for our very selves. We have read in the Old Testament how God had led his people out of Egypt and out of slavery. We knew the goodness of God and God's saving acts. And yet the people have turned their attention away from God. And then the passage shifts. It shifts to a moment of worship, from teaching to worship. And like the catechism with which we started just a couple of minutes ago, as the worshiper brings his offering into the temple, there would have been, in Hebrew times, a teaching that would have gone along with it, ritual instruction, so that the worshiper would know why we do what we do. Here in the open, here in this passage, the opening question is presupposed. It's not spoken, but it hangs there in that white space between the verses. It would have been something like, "Why do you bring this offering?" To which the worshiper would have responded, "With what shall I come before the Lord and show myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves that are a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" It begins simply enough, the answer, doesn't it? It has to do with what is a fitting offering. Perhaps the burnt offering of a yearling calf would be a suitable offering for God. But then it quickly spins out of control. It quickly moves into hyperbolic street. No, not just one yearling calf, but 1,000 burnt offerings, 1,000 calves. Or what about tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Is God worthy of this? And no longer limited to any of these practicalities or things external, the author then continues, "Would the gift of my firstborn son be enough to blot out my sins in the presence of God?" And then the priest responds, "Wait a minute. God has told you what to do. God has told you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." As we come into worship this morning to mark Indigenous Peoples Sunday, we too come with questions. We too come wondering what sort of sacrifice might be enough to atone for the sins of the past and the racism that continues to mark our relationships with other people to this very day. And all of the questions that arise today are difficult questions. For more than 35 years, the Presbyterian Church in Canada and other denominations have been wrestling with questions just like this. We've tried to figure out first, whether or not we need it at all to make any sort of confession regarding residential schools. We did that. And then working with the federal government, ways that we could respond to that. We continue often to look at the injustices that continue to exist in many corners of our country with First Nations and communities. And even at this past General Assembly, we made that shift from a confession concerning residential schools to an apology for what had been done. First, you must recognize it, then you can repent of it. And perhaps more importantly, we wrestle with the question of how is it that we walk with our Indigenous brothers and sisters into the future? Because the amazing reality is that despite all of the suffering and the destruction of community that was wrought upon our First Nations by the church and society over the past several hundred years, many of them still find hope in that one spirit God that is referred to in question 4 of the Shorter Catechism. The one who is infinite and eternal and unchangeable, who's known by his being and wisdom and power, his holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And each of those things hopefully defines us as who we are in our daily lives. And each of those things must define our relationship as we seek to build bridges with our Indigenous brothers and sisters. And finding answers to all these questions of justice and goodness and truth hasn't been easy. It has been a long and slow process for the church, probably for us as individuals, as well as we who are part of a settler culture in this land have had to recognize and acknowledge the effects and decisions of past generations. Perhaps it doesn't slip too far from your consciousness as it didn't slip too far from my consciousness as I worked through things this week, that just last week we celebrated our settlement in the land. And while it's good to remember those who have gone before us in the faith, we also recognize some of the baggage that came along with it. There was a real temptation for me to use the exact same text that we used last week again this week, because they speak to both sides of that dilemma that we face as children of God, as citizens of this country. As we seek to look to the future, we have to wrestle with the impact of residential schools and policies of enculturation across the country that have led to the loss of language and tradition of First Nations people. It's hard for us to grasp how what has been done in the past sometimes continues to have effects into the future, but we know it does. And part of the reason that it's so hard for us to grasp things like that is because we're still inside the story. It means something to us too.
It's hard to gain perspective, you know, when you're not neutral. It's hard to cheer for a Connor McDavid goal if you're a Florida Panthers fan, regardless of how good it is. There were a couple of good ones last night, too, by the way. It's hard because we're not neutral. It's hard because the stories we wrestle with are our stories, too. But slowly, we learn. Slowly, I have been learning. If you have a good memory, you may recall that when I preached for the call here at St. John's 5 years ago next month, I noted that our relationship with First Nations communities was one of the three things that I identified as being important and markers for how we move ahead in ministry. Now, I still believe that, although COVID sure knocked us off our stride. All that stuff seemed to just disappear for a while. And there seemed to be such good progress being made before. As part of my goal, as part of my commitment, pardon me, to that goal, I committed to trying to become more aware of Indigenous issues. And I participated in a course from the Indigenous Summer School at Vancouver School of Theology in 2020, that first year that I was here. It was supposed to be an in-person course, and I was looking forward to sitting down and talking and learning and listening. And like everything in 2020, it ended up being a Zoom course. I don't think it was nearly as good as it could have been, but it was there. And one thing stuck in my mind as we had our discussions in that course. There was a moment of reflection on the idea of the promised land from the Old Testament and the problem of the promised land. The problem being that how Israel settled the promised land was an act of colonization. And that, I'm sorry, blew my mind. I couldn't figure out how to make that work in the framework of faith and reflection that I was working with. I struggled. Because in many ways, the entirety of our understanding of God and the Old Testament is based upon the concepts of covenant and blessing, of God's work of reconciliation in the world, which is tied to Abraham and his descendants and that promise. And the land was part of the promise. I had to go away and sit with that for a long time. One of the gifts from Native spirituality, the wisdom to sit with something for a long time. And it's taken me a long time. It's taken me until this year to allow some of the pieces of that puzzle that I've been sitting with in silence to click into place. I could not see it because I was too close to it. It was part of my story. And so I needed others who were not so close to teach me. This has been a year of turmoil. I probably don't need to tell you that. You may have stopped turning on the TV news just for that very reason. But as we've looked at the conflict in the Middle East, the name itself, of course, being a Western and colonizing perspective, right? Middle East. It's only east if you live west of it, as Europe did. As we've looked at the Middle East and have had the blessing of hearing how others have settled that land, lands that have been on the receiving side of the power equations, I've been able to start to put together the idea of what colonialism means. Not as a, you know, written in the history book, political science sort of way, but in the way it touches lives and people. I don't have the answer. I'm a little smarter on my good days, but I'm still working through it. It is an ongoing exploration, and we are far from, or I am far from, the simple structures of question and answer to be able to get things right. But we're moving in a direction, and that may be a good thing. The questions, well, they still remain. The questions of residential schools, of missing and murdered Aboriginal women, of lost children and lost languages, and sometimes they're just too big for us to hear. We don't know how to make sense of them, and we certainly don't know how to undo the history of the past. I think they are also too much for our First Nations brothers and sisters to hear and to bear too. But I received the gift of perspective from one of my First Nations colleagues while at General Assembly just last week. And in addressing the assembly, he noted that he had spent a great deal of his life and a long time cataloging the burden and the hurt that he bore as a result of his experiences in residential schools and in the broader society. But then he shared with us this. That one day as he was going through his catalog of suffering, an elder said to him, "It's not about the past. The past is too painful. It is bad medicine in your life. But look toward the future, because in the future there is healing." And so it is for all of us. As we continue to acknowledge the hurts of the past, let us also focus on the healing of the future, of finding new ways to learn from one another and to find friendship and wisdom in relationships with one another within the family of God. Because that simple confession is no less true in this relationship as it is with any other, that all of us have been created in the image and the glory of God. May it be that at some point we will be able to reclaim a relationship that is mutual and sharing. May Tim Hortons become our new church, and cups of coffee and Timbits the new sacrament. Because the gift of donuts, as we mentioned earlier, was one of those things that allowed people to share with one another and to enrich two cultures by the adoption from one to another. To sit in silence and to be given a gift and to receive it generously and humbly. And as we do, may we always remember that we have received a gift that is pleasing to God, and that we have a gift to share that is pleasing to God. To look out upon the world through the eyes of its maker, and to shape our behaviors in a way that recognizes all of that. Two, as Micah encourages us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God and our neighbors. Therein lies the hope for the healing of the nations. Thanks be to God. Amen. I have to teach you a hymn of response. This, is, I think, is also going to be a new hymn for us here at St. John's. Get out your books. 709 in the Book of Praise. It'll be easier if you follow along in the book, I think. Most people like real paper when they're learning stuff. Hymn 709 is, "What Does the Lord Require of You?" And if you open up the book, you will see it's written, it's not three verses like the way we usually understand verses. It's three parts. And so in a moment, we're going to divide ourselves up. And we're going to divide ourselves up. I'll do this right now. Men, you are going to be part one. So your words are, "What does the Lord require of you?" Ladies on this side of the church, I'll try not to run outside of the pulpit, run outside of my screen. You are number two. So you are justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. So as we learn these three parts, you will know what you're doing. And what that means is that, ladies on this side of the church, you have the hardest part of all. You have to seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. The finger snap is the most important part, because you guys come in on the offbeat. So you have to remember, they start and then you got to go, bah. Okay? So now we're going to sing through all three parts to learn them. We'll sing through each part twice, and then we'll put it all together in a glorious choir. Are you ready? What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Now, ladies, if you want to sing with the men as they start, feel free to do so. Just don't forget where your parts come. And just so that Roy knows how this is going to work with the slides, just in case anybody's following the slides, and for our friends at home. Roy, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3. So if you can show the three different sets of words. And then we will repeat the third, and then we will do two, and then we will do one. So we will go 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. See if we can keep up with all of that. Everybody ready? Let's stand for this.
What does the Lord require?
keep going, men. Thank you. We'll do that again just because we spent this much time on it. We should learn it. What shall we come before the Lord? With what shall we come before the Lord this day? We come with a love of justice and a passion for sharing Christ's love. Let us walk in humble gratitude, offering to God a portion of the gifts that God freely shares with us as we present our tithes and offerings to God. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed us with an abundance of gifts for the flourishing of your world. May this offering of our life and labor reveal your love as we seek to share your promised reign with all of creation. We pray these things in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, I would invite you to join me in prayer. We use as our prayer today the covenant litany from our friends at the in the Indigenous Ministries Department at the Christian Reformed Church. The words will appear before you on the screen as this is a responsive prayer. Our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer makes covenants.
Lord, we praise you for making covenants with us.
We see the rainbow and remember the covenant the Creator made with Noah.
We praise you, Lord, for keeping your promise to never flood the whole earth again.
Remind us of covenants Yahweh made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Lord, we praise you for blessing all the nations of the world through those covenants.
Family of Jesus, bring honor to your treaties and covenants. Remember that the Lord punished the Israelites for breaking their treaty with the Gibeonites. Oh, we lost our words. May the Holy Spirit prevent us from making rash promises. People of God, remember the prophet Ezekiel declared the wrath of Yahweh on the people of Judah for breaking their treaty with Babylon. Creator, may your Spirit help us to keep our promises. People, remember the prophet Isaiah, who declared the anger of the Lord on the Assyrian nation for attempting to destroy boundaries between nations. Lord, help us to remember that you created all people and made the boundaries of the nations of this earth. Hear the word of the Lord through the prophet Amos. People of Israel, I think of thee as much as the people of Ethiopia as I do of you. I brought the Philistine from Crete and Syria from Kir, just as I brought you out of Egypt. Lord, help us to remember that you are active in the history of the nations of the world, and help us to remember that you love all your children. People, remember the Passover lamb and the Lord's promise through Isaiah of a servant through whom justice will be done on the earth for all nations. We praise you, O Lord, for Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. People, remember that all the nations of the world are promised unity in Christ. Forgive us for our discriminating against believers who are from different cultures and races. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are called to a ministry of reconciliation. You are called to serve a Messiah who came to break down walls between people and between humanity and the Lord. Holy Spirit, help us to love those who are different from us. Bless us with eyes to see the walls of racism that we have built and give us the courage to destroy those walls. Believe the prophecy of John, that the leaves of the tree of life in heaven are for the healing of the nations. Holy Spirit, help us to live out your call for justice. Heavenly Father, renew our faith in your covenant promises. Fill us with love for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Give us the will to break down walls of racism and injustice. Bless us with thoughts, words, and deeds that build bridges of grace, peace, and justice for all. In so doing, may we create on this earth a place that is holy and nearer to your kingdom, which abides and waits for us in heaven. Hear us now as we continue in prayer, praying as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our closing hymn is number 787 in the Book of Praise. The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy, hymn 787. Friends in Christ, as you go from this place, remember that we worship a God who is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. May we walk in his ways in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.